Joshua chapter 20, and the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. And the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither. And they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place, that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest. That shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return, come unto his own city, and unto his own house, from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee and Mount Naphtali, and Shechem and Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath-Jearba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness, upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood, until he stood before the congregation. May God add his blessing to his word. You may be seated. To me, it is so absolutely amazing and astonishing that God in his love has anticipated the needs of the human family. Has it ever dawned upon you that when the Lord was planning the earth and its structure, he saw the age of automobiles, put oil in the earth, let rubber trees grow, out of which we make tires. All up in Minnesota and up through there, he put iron in the earth, from which we get our steel. He knew we'd do a lot of writing, so he let pulp trees grow so we could have paper. It's amazing how God in his wisdom has anticipated every need and contingency which might arise in the human family. Here's an illustration. People got inadvertently got into trouble with the law. So God said, I want you to appoint six cities called the cities of refuge. Three on the east side of the Jordan, that's in what was the wilderness area. And three on the west side of the Jordan, which is now Israel, Palestine. And he said, put up signs pointing to the cities of refuge. So if anyone needs to flee to those cities, they won't have to look around and wonder how to get there. The roads will be marked. The signs will be there. Because God says, I don't want some hothead hurting some people who are innocent. and no malice aforethought. So God makes provision and has these six cities of refuge. And they were marked. We don't see it so much now in this country, but I remember not long ago, Pastor, you may remember too, air raid shelters. There were signs in cities, air raid shelters. And if you didn't know about them in New Orleans, there were places we knew about them. I don't know about New Orleans, but we lived in cities of total darkness during the war. There wasn't a light allowed anywhere. My wife and I were coming in across the Atlantic, and a German submarine was sighted. I want you to know, we were looking for a city of refuge. You don't want to hang around someplace out in the ocean when they see the periscope from a German submarine. When I was in Japan during the Korean War, we were put through drills. We were shown caves in the mountains. And every road had its mark, had its sign in English and in Japanese, pointing to the air raid shelters in case that the communists would come over from Korea. And of course, then they had been also been there during the American bombardment of Japan. All over Europe, you can still find old air raid shelters. And so this was God's idea to begin with. He provided cities of refuge. There's a story told up in northern Scotland during the days of the ancient Highlanders. The chief, the son of a Scottish chief, was killed one night during some kind of fuss at a local inn. I guess they had too much to drink or something, got into a quarrel, and some young fella killed the chief's son. Later that evening, a man came to the door of this chief's home, said, "Sir, I need shelter. People are after me. I need a place to hide." Lamont, the Scottish chief, did not even ask his name, brought him in and sheltered him. But an hour or so later, men were knocking at the door and said, "Sir Lamont, have you seen such and such a man?" And he said, "Yes, I have." "Why are you looking for him?" "He killed your son in a scuffle at yonder inn, and we want him." And the old Scottish nobility rose to the fore. He said, "Gentlemen, I gave that man my word that he was safe here. And here is one Scotchman that sticks by his word, even though it has cost him his son." And ladies and gentlemen, if that is true of a Scotchman, I want you to know it is true of Jesus Christ. The man that flees for refuge to Jesus Christ is safe. Let the murderers come. Let killers come. Let avengers of blood come. Let hostile men bent on destruction and murder come. Whoever flees for refuge to Jesus Christ is safe for time and for eternity. Eternity. I read in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 to 20, that we have fled to Jesus for refuge. He is our city of refuge. I remember the day when I was fleeing from a guilty conscience, plagued with the fact I was a lost church member, looking for a hiding place. And I saw signs along the highway of life pointing to Jesus Christ. the city of refuge. And one night, bewildered, frustrated, frightened, disillusioned by it all, I fled to that city and found shelter and love and eternal life, and found everything that the human heart could crave for. God is our refuge, said David, a present help in trouble. God is our city of refuge, and the city is easily accessible. Jesus said in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth to me shall come unto me, and him that cometh I will in no wise cast out. Red, yellow, black, white, tainted, polluted, maimed, scarred, rotten, through and through, him that cometh is the only condition for eternal life. Wasted, useless, guilty of murder, guilty of adultery, every sin you can think of, but the way is marked, him that cometh I will in no wise cast out. And then again, Jesus said, Matthew 11:28, come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, come, and I will give you rest. That city is so easily accessible. You can find it in your home. You can find it on the road. You can find it in your car. And let me tell you, you can find it at First Assembly tonight. This can be your way to the city of refuge. And we want to point the way so clearly, so you follow that way, will lead you to the blessed shelter provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is it easily accessible, but it provides safety. I don't hesitate to quote the Word of God, and I read these beautiful words in John 10:28-29, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and no man can pluck them out of my hands. My Father, which is greater than I, gave them to me, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hands. Someone says, that's Baptist doctrine. Horseradish, that's Bible doctrine. That's what the Bible says, not the Baptists. That was here long before there were any Baptists. And friends, now I believe it. There aren't enough devils in hell or elsewhere that can steal me out of that city of refuge as long as I want to stay there. As long as I want to take advantage of its shelter and stay close to the keeper of that city of refuge. Nothing has been invented yet. Praise God, praise God. My black friends, you won't feel badly at me when I quote a good black preacher. He got so excited about this scripture. He said, I'm in the hands of the Savior. I'm in the hands of the Father. He said, the devil would have to bust up the Godhead to get me out of there. I want you to know that's good theology. And I want to tell you, timid, frightened Christians, as long as you stick close to Jesus Christ, you stay in that city of refuge. This is no excuse for worldliness. This is no license for liberties. This is one scripture, one reason why I ought to live for God. Not to have eternal life, but because I have it. Amen. Glory to God. And in his love, he has provided a city of refuge. Glory to God. My dear old friend, now gone to glory, Jack Moore in Shreveport, used to say,
quoting the old scripture, God has cast our sins behind his back in the sea of his forgetfulness, and he put up a sign, no fishing. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. No fishing. They're drowned in that sea. Don't you dare bring up again what God in his mercy has blotted out and saved you from. Oh, that men and women would flee to that city tonight and be safe. Flee from the avenger. Flee from the terrors of death. Flee from the fear of being lost. And find refuge. Sure. Safe. Calm. Happy. Healthy. Glory to God. Happy. It's all there in the city of refuge. There were six of these cities with these strange sounding names. I mentioned the other night you want names for your boys. Here's some more names. If you run out of Mike and Sam and George and Joe. But each one of these names of these cities has a special meaning that all allude to the Lord Jesus Christ. The name Bezer means stronghold or a fortified place. Glory to God. Not only am I safe in the city, but the city is surrounded with battalions from heaven. Amen. Glory to God. And I want you to know the devil's going to keep a safe distance because the armies of the Lord are going to shoot him down. Hallelujah. This is a fortified place. Zechariah 9:12. Turn ye to the strongholds, ye prisoners of hope. My friends, there's nothing secure today. I listened the other day to economists. And this is such a crazy world. Someone said, aren't you excited, nervous? I said, not a bit. Not in the least. Pastor, I have to confess this morning, you said, everybody has problems, raise your hand. I didn't. If I'd raised my hand for one problem, I was hungry. That's the only problem I had. I haven't got a problem in the world. I have such a good time, I'm feeling guilty. That I can be so completely fulfilled, so full of joy and the glory of the Lord in a world that is so sad. I'll tell you why I feel that way. I'm not running. I'm not nervous. Glory to God, I put my feet under Father's table. Hallelujah! Let the heavenly orchestras entertain me while I fare on the bounties of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Jesus says, Paul Lonebridge, you're safe here. You stay here, son. Never mind about the noise outside. Don't pay any attention to it. You are safe here in this stronghold. Psalm 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. Psalm 46:1. God is my refuge and my strength. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous shall run into it and be safe. Woo, glory to God. Man, oh man. Hallelujah. Well, every sign points to the city. And it's urging you to come. Urging you to run. And get inside the city gates and say, Jesus, I need a place to hide. He'll say, you've come to the right place. We've got hiding places here just for fellas like you. And then the name of the second city, Ramoth, which high or exalted. Oh, how this applies to my Lord Jesus. Peter said in Acts chapter 5 to the crowd listening to him preach, he said, him hath God exalted and made him a prince and a savior. Look at that beautiful second chapter of Philippians. Paul said, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of man, fashioned as a servant, and took upon him the form of a man, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is God. This is God. But listen, wherefore? I mentioned this morning, watch the therefores and the wherefores. Why are they therefore? Wherefore? God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, what an exalted name we flee to when we come to Jesus Christ, the highest name in heaven, the highest name on earth. Hold it, the highest name in hell. My friends, going to hell is no escape from Jesus. The people in hell. Friends, it wouldn't take fire to make it a hell for me. There is the Savior who could have saved me. And I'm lost forever. I am incarcerated eternally without hope. And there was in sight, oh, the horrible mocking thought, I could have been saved. I could have been saved. And the people in hell have to do the very same thing we're doing tonight. We're bowing our knees. They have to in hell. We're confessing Christ as Savior and Lord. That's what they have to do in hell. Only to make their damnation all the more complete and final and terrible. He has been exalted above every name. Fly to that name tonight. This is the greatest name, the highest name, the holiest name, the strongest name. There will never be another name like it. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves under the hand of God, and he will exalt you. Not only has the Savior been exalted, but God will exalt you. For read Ephesians 2:6, he has raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You talk about exaltation. When Jesus Christ died, I died in him. When he was buried, I was buried in him. When he rose again, I rose with him. When he ascended to glory, I ascended with him. When he sat down at the right hand of the Father, I sat down there with him. My body is on earth. My spirit is in glory. I have a double citizenship, which I'm going to change very quickly when that trumpet sounds. You talk about an exaltation. Yes, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You talk about exalted. This name that's been exalted above every name, I have been exalted with him. Hallelujah. Quickened with him. Yes. Raised with him. Yes. Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, whoo, glory to God, seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God, and when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Man, alive! That'll make a wooden Indian shout. Praise God! Praise God! Praise God!
Please turn tape over for conclusion of message.
With Christ in God, the devil would have to get a search warrant to find me, and the Lord ain't going to give him one. Hallelujah! Exalted! Praise God! Praise God! Poor little earthworms, we can hardly make it from one day to another, hardly pay our bills, drag these poor old tired bodies around. Will you just take it one good look at what God has made out of you? Exalted you with Christ. Hallelujah! 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 And then John shouts in Revelation 1, he said, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own precious blood and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Exalted to be kings. 1 Peter 2:9, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Flee to the city of Ramoth. It'll be the highest honor you've ever enjoyed in your life. Then there's the city of Golan, meaning joy or revelation. Remember the message of the angels in Luke chapter 2, verse 10? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Hallelujah. This thing starts out with joy and ends with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's just joy, joy, joy all the way. See, no, I didn't know, I'm not going to bring you good tidings of two Cadillacs and three chickens in the pot, and raises, and new houses. He said, no, I'm going to bring you good tidings of great joy. And what is the great joy? I can know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I can be a child of God, an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Amen. I love Psalm 46. We sing it. There is a river. Amen. The streams thereof make glad the city of God. A sour face has never made a contribution to the kingdom of God. A long face is no credit to Jesus Christ. God's people should be grinning from ear to ear all the time. People should suspect us of being sane. They should look at us like we're a bunch of queer Joes. Just looking silly and grinning like Cheshire cats. Not disturbed about a thing. Let the whole world go to pot. So what? My life is hid with Christ in God. Hallelujah! He's big enough to keep me out of that pot. Romans 14, 17. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Pastor, I was thinking you were mentioning the altar here, and some folks don't like what's going on here. And as I was thinking, there's something began to... Well, I think the strangest things once in a while. When I sit here and observe what's going on, people say we like that, but we don't like this. But the reason we have that is because we have this. We eliminate this and there won't be that.
So as long as you like the that, we're going to have to keep the this. Amen. Let's take this out and see how long we have a rocking, glowing, moving service at the First Assembly. We'll soon have a dead First Church, but it won't be Assembly of God. There'll be another name for it. But it's this that makes that so enjoyable and so intriguing. And it's this that brings you back to that and then finally gets you up to this. So you can sit back with that and worship and praise the Lord and shout hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Come to the city of Golan. Joy in the Lord. Peace like a river that passes all understanding. And I read the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Fear-stricken individuals. Stirred and perplexed and disturbed. Fly from the avenger of blood who is on your heels. Not only is there safety here, but total overflowing joy for everyone that will accept the invitation to fly to Jesus and find refuge. And then the word Kadesh means a holy place, sanctified or set apart. The sacred refuge was cut off from the other traffic, from the business of the cities, of the other cities. It was set apart as a sacred place, a sanctified place, a holy place. Some years ago, my wife and I were up at a place called Ingersoll, Ontario, Canada. And what was so attractive about Ingersoll, of course, it's a town of about 400 people. No, that wasn't it. Jack Miner's Bird Sanctuary was there. It was, in the fall, it was geese hunting season. And I saw something I couldn't believe. I was raised in goose hunting country. Now, I know how wild and timid and easily scared those geese are. Don't ever call a man or a friend of yours, you're as dumb as a goose. Did you ever see goose stay in Louisiana in this heat all summer? The geese that I know, they go up to northern Canada. When you're sweltering, when there's 10 feet of snow up there, they come down to the rice fields here along the Gulf. I wish I was as smart as a goose. I'd stay around till spring, and then I'd say, you can have it, Pastor Goldman. I'm going where it's cool. But would you know those geese came into that sanctuary literally by the hundreds of thousands? Geese knew they were safe. Now, I don't know who told those geese that. I don't know if they went to your school, Pastor Kaling, or where they went. But those geese on their first trip back from the north, they'd been hatched out that summer. But with a shot and shell all over the county, they came swooping in there by the thousands. We walked within 50 feet of 10,000 geese that had just landed there for refuge. They knew they were safe from the hunters. Those hunters out across the fences gnarled and gnashed their teeth. That old gander says, ha ha, you can't touch me. You can't shoot me. If you do, the Canadian government's going to put you in jail. They defied the guns and the gunners in this city set apart. No avenger dare enter here to those who have come apart from the dangers, from the insecurity out there. The Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself.
God has ways, my friends, to bring us out from the crowd, where he can get us alone, where he can teach us. You see, sanctification is not what we don't do. Sanctification is what we really start doing as people of God, sanctified by his word, by his blood, and by his spirit, set apart. I have no time for the world, worldly pursuits, worldly business. I can't complain about others, that's up to them. But I read Romans 1 and 1. Paul, an apostle, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, separated unto the gospel of God. I have no time for business ventures. I have no time for industries out there. I have no time. My time must be spent in the gospel. God called me out from the world, out from business, to make preaching the gospel and living for Jesus Christ my only business. And though you must work for a living manually, yet you can set your life completely apart where the world can't touch you or influence you, because you've come to Kadesh, a place that is set apart for the people of God. We have a real problem today. The church is so worldly, and the world is so churchy, that you can't tell what's what. Christian people in the nightclubs, Christian people in the drinking parlors, Christian people at the dances, Christian people here and there and everywhere. You ask them, are you a Christian? I should say so. They'd knock your teeth out if you dare tell them there weren't a Christian in these places. Well, I come to church and I say, who are you? We're Christians. Well, what's the difference between you and the people I talk to out there? God has those that he has set apart for himself. I would have loved to have been here the night your pastor baptized 244 people. But the thing, one thing that bothers me in so many places, the real concept of water baptism has lost its meaning. You go down a dry sinner and come up a wet one. But to me, water baptism is a marriage ceremony. It'll soon be 40 years. Whew. Doesn't seem possible. Am I that old? A beautiful young woman and I stood at an altar, and that narrow-minded preacher, he was so narrow-minded he could see through a keyhole with both eyes at the same time. He said, Paul Orenberg, will you forsake all others? What's the big idea? It's a free country. Why be so narrow? Now, you folks wouldn't remember, but in those days, we used to sing, you can't marry 10 pretty girls. That was one of our favorite songs. Then he turned to her and he said, Bernice Keller, will you forsake all others? Cling to him only. My poor old father-in-law must have about died of a heart attack. He said, why don't you marry some of these rich young businessmen, these lawyers, these doctors, these professors? That poor Pentecostal preacher, he'll never be able to support you. When he said forsaking all others, that meant father, that meant mother, that meant brother, that meant sister, meant all the beautiful boys. And they were standing in line by the score. That's why I didn't sneak out of town at midnight. I drove out of town on high noon, as slow as that car would go. I wanted every guy in that town to see that I got what he wanted. And
and best man wins. And in 40 years, I want you to know, friends, there's never been a competitor for that love. In 40 solid years, that love has never been in jeopardy. Amen. It's never been threatened. It's never been lukewarm. And when you follow Christ in water baptism, you're saying goodbye, world, worldly ways, worldly habits, worldly associations. It's goodbye, old world. I'm through with you. I am being set apart for God and for God alone. On the job, I live as a Christian. On the street, I walk as a Christian. In my business, I am a Christian. In school, I am a Christian, set apart for God. Praise God. Then there's another city called Shechem, which means shoulder of strength or regal authority. Isaiah 9:6, we just quoted it a few days ago. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Singular. Won't you notice that? That's no accident. The government of the whole world will rest lightly on one shoulder. But when he goes out to seek the sheep that has gone astray, and he finds it, he picks it up, I read, and lays it on his shoulders. He can balance the world on a shoulder, but when he brings home his lost sheep, he wraps it over his shoulders. Hallelujah. And brings it home on shoulders of strength. Sustains that lost one by strength. He sustains all, supports all. He can keep us. He can keep you and I in all their afflictions, said Isaiah 40:11. He was afflicted with them, and the angel of his presence saved them. Yea, he carried them all day long. When we first came down to Louisiana and some of these areas, and some of these fresh women would come along and say, Brother Lomberg, would you carry me? I said, wait a minute, wait a minute. They said, in your car. I said, oh. I said, I'll give you a ride. They said, no, carry me. If I went home to Canada and said to a lady, would you carry me? Whew, I don't know what would happen. Up there, you give them a ride. But I want you to know, he'll carry you. Yes, he will. In his arms, by his strength, he is able to keep from falling and to present you faultless in the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He said, all of those thou hast given me, I have lost none except the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Now, if you're going to fulfill a scripture by being lost, then go ahead. But he said, I've lost none that thou hast given me. And if you will notice in Revelation chapter 7, I believe it is, he seals 144,000. Pastor, in Revelation 14, he counts, there are 144,000. Hallelujah. He's kept them through the tribulation, through the fire, through the flood. This isn't eternal security. This is eternal life. Hallelujah. This is the eternal fatherhood of God. The Lord is strong. He's able to keep you from falling. And the sixth city is called Hebron, or fellowship, or association. I was reading John 4 the other day, and I read of the woman who came to the well in Samaria at noon. I gather, Pastor, she came alone. Now, why would she come alone? Five husbands? Living with a sixth? You talk about friends. I mean, she had them by the score. She had them stacked up for every day of the week and one or two extra. But she comes alone. Not a sinner in Samaria would be seen with her. Sin's a lonely thing. Sinners are lonely people. This world is full of lonely people. I just caught a few minutes of Billy Graham's message. I don't know where it was from. But he said, this stadium is filled with lonely people. I don't know what's happening to us. More industry, more business, more activity, and more loneliness. More fun and more hilarity and more sadness. More freedom than ever and more bondage than we can imagine. Oh, let me tell you, friends, at Hebron, there is fellowship. The avenger is not placed on parole. He isn't put in care of one of the officers who watches every step of his movement. There's association here. There's blessed, wonderful fellowship here. He's not put on probation like a prodigal. He is instantly made a son, associated with Christ. Paul says in Romans 8, we are heirs of children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I didn't have to wait, Pastor. No probation, no parole. When I stepped inside the kingdom of God, coming out of the world with its pollution and its filth, the minute I stepped over the doorstep, I was a child of God, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. John says in his beautiful epistle, these things write unto you, that a fellowship with us, that your fellowship, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. And Paul writes in Philippians 2, if there be any fellowship of the Spirit, I fellowship the Father, and I fellowship the Son, and I fellowship the Holy Ghost. Not by long distance, but personally. Hallelujah! I sit at their feet. I listen to them. I feel the touch of His hand. I feel the warmth of His love. I feel the strength of their sustaining grace. Poor Paul Lornberg, a country kid, has fellowship with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Ghost, and I'm totally at home in the presence of God. Woo, glory to God. Come on, shout a little. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then he says, look, son, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We're going to have fellowship. I like that old song, I walk with the King, hallelujah. I walk with the King, praise His name. No longer I roam, my soul faces home. I walk and I talk with the King. Like the two Emmaus disciples, I have heartburn. Oh, do I have heartburn. By the time I got this message ready, my heart had nearly scorched itself to cinders. Hallelujah. From spiritual heartburn as He opens the Scriptures, as I walk in blessed fellowship
with Christ. My friends, it's so rough out there. The night's cold. The winds are howling. There's danger all over. But there's safety in the city. And every sign says, this way, this way, this way, this way. Let me lead you. Let me take you by the hand. Follow me. I'm going to lead you to the city of refuge where you're going to be safe. You're going to be sheltered. And you're going to be welcomed by the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Let's bow our heads.